God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. This is the word of the Lord.
Just open in prayer. Dear Lord God, I pray the word I give today is your word, and it falls on everyone's hearts and minds. Amen. As a family, we went on holiday several years ago to the south of France. On the way home, we travelled back up the country and stayed in Normandy. The aim was to show the children the Normandy landing beaches, memorials and sites of remembrance. We wanted them to understand not just the history, but to bring to life, remember the lives of men and women who died in the invasion of Europe, both Allies and Germans. What really stood out was the war graves of both Allies and Germans. We walked along rows after rows of graves, absorbing the names of the fallen soldiers, each one a life in its own right. We experienced a sense of stillness. That sense of stillness stayed with us as we left and travelled back to the ferry all the way home to England. A sense of God's divine, still presence was acutely present in that place. This experience, like this morning, enables us to remember. The verb to remember is not just a historical raising of awareness, but it also brings to our conscience something that is current. We remember an appointment, things to do, the never-ending to-do list. Our lives are full of remembering. This morning we remember both past and present conflict and the lives and it has and continues to affect. As we gather today, there are a number of ongoing conflicts around the world, many not getting the media attention to raise awareness. Mexico's war on drugs, Yemen's civil war, and we do know about Afghanistan. Conflicts that are going on in the world today present us with a challenge about how we respond. This morning is not just a historical remembrance process we engage in. It is a current here and now response to the conflicts that are in the world today with a calling for us to respond. So, as we remember, we reflect on the scripture in the psalm. A few points I would like to reflect with you this morning. Recognising the suffering war has and is bringing to individuals, families and nations. In the face of this great suffering that exists in our world, our God not only understands our pain, in Jesus Christ we worship a God who suffered and died with us and for us. Through his suffering we are healed. So the first reflection I had was the idea of refuge to peacemaking. Verse 1, it says, God is our one and only refuge. A refuge is a place of safety, a place to go when we experience danger. We see the images of refugees on our TV screens, risking their lives and their families, sometimes with fatal consequences. fleeing from the dangers posed by war. We see it even crossing the English Channel to the UK for a safer and better life. It reminds us that war impacts the lives of its civilians, as well as those involved in direct conflict. A refugee has lost their home, although they always have a place of safety with God. We may not be refugees here, although we do need a place of refuge at times of conflict. God is our one true refuge. He can never be shaken. He is safe. He is always there. In verse 7, it talks about the Lord Almighty is with us. He is our fortress. God does not just provide a place of refuge. He provides a fortress, a place of security, a stronghold, protecting us from attack. We can be safe. I've had the pleasure and honour to get to know Yancy from China, and he sits with us today. I meet with him each week over the last couple of months, and I pick him up in the car on the way to church, and he tells me about all the castles he's been around the UK, his delight of history, and I've been having to talk about William the Conqueror and stretch my GCSE history. So we have a country full of fortresses. We're known for it. They've been built over many centuries, and many in the form of castles. When a fortress was attacked by the enemy, the people in the surrounding area would flee to the security of the gates, safe from attack by the enemy. People were safe and secure inside the walls of the fortress. God provides this fortress. Although it's not just a place of security, it does not just keep you safe. God's fortress is also a source of strength. At times of great suffering, we turn to God to give us strength to face the suffering. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. Within the safety of God's fortress, God gives us strength. Strength gives us hope. Hope gives rise to peace. Peace becomes the establishment of God's kingdom on earth. I'll say that again. Within the safety of God's fortress, God gives us strength. Strength gives us hope. Hope gives rise to peace. Peace becomes the establishment of God's kingdom on earth. Turning to God at times of conflict leads to actual change in the world. By turning to God, turning to his refuge in the safety of his fortress, he gives us strength to bring light into this broken world. The world is full of conflict. Conflict and tensions between individuals, groups, governments vying for power, economic gain, ideology, religion, revenge. This is how war can start and be sustained. Relationships between people formed by bitterness, anger, hate, retaliation. This is where evil creeps into the world and gets a foothold. We are called to counter this. We are called to be peacemakers. So the next point is, how do we be sustained as peacemakers? The psalm talks about water in the form of rivers. It is where rivers are used throughout the Bible to describe God as the source of life. We and the rest of creation are drawn to rivers as this source of life. We instinctively seek it, drawn to it, refueled by what it brings. Large cities and civilizations are built around mighty rivers. A river flows from a source into the ocean. The source is small. The river grows. Streams flow out of it, sustaining God's creation. In verse 4 it says, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. What is interesting is that the city of Jerusalem, the city of God, is not actually sustained by a river. It's quite unusual for a city, because I've mentioned civilizations are built around water. Although what it does highlight is the uniqueness of Jerusalem in the psalm. It is a spiritual river, whose streams make glad the city of God. We are the streams being sustained by the river of God. We are called to be streams of peace in the world, sourced by God's river strength. Not only does this sustain us, it also pleases God. In verse, it also states that it makes God glad. He calls us to be sustained by him. We become the streams, fed by God's mighty river, reaching out into the world as peacemakers. Jesus said to the Samaritan woman at the well, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The beautiful 19th century hymn, "Here is love vast as the ocean." The chorus goes, "Grace and love like mighty rivers flowed incessant from above. Heaven's peace and perfect justice kissed a broken world with love." We are called to be peacemakers in a broken world, sustained by God's mighty river of grace and love. So, this is a call to action. There is hope. We can make a difference in the face of conflict. We can bring peace. We don't have to be overwhelmed by the enormity of international conflicts. Our everyday actions in our daily lives can bring peace in our workplace, family, community. Streams of peace in the world, countering the conflict. So my final point is about God's stillness as we unify. Remembrance Sunday is a time of stillness. At 11 a.m. we'll be standing still for 2 minutes. Remembering conflict, remembering the fallen, remembering those who are continuing to suffer as a result of war, remembering those who are experiencing war right now. God commands us in the psalm, "Be still and know that I am God." Stillness is not just about remembering. Stillness is also about encountering God, finding peace in the stillness, so that we can be strengthened, have hope, and go into the world as peacemakers. One of the most incredible war stories, for me it is, it's not actually about a battle or a conquest of a nation. It's not about heroes or great leaders. It is about peace. The truce of Christmas Day in 1914 on the Western Front in World War I. I'm always drawn back to this story, reading letters from soldiers who were there on that day, looking at photos of this quite extraordinary event. I just think it's the kind of the incongruity of this in the face of the awful terror in the trenches that caused so much suffering and loss. I can only imagine the constant artillery firing over the soldiers' heads. The noise so loud, so frightening, that even if you were not directly hit, the psychological toll on you was unbearable. There was absolutely no escape. It was on a bitter winter's day, knowing it was Christmas Day. Men were freezing in the trenches, trying to protect themselves from the artillery fire. Then suddenly, the artillery stopped. Quietness engulfed the air, piercing the maelstrom of war. There was stillness. Men slowly lifting their heads above the trenches, two opposing sides crossing no man's land and greeting each other in the middle. They were exchanging souvenirs, playing football, singing Christmas carols together, praising God who sent his one and only Son into the world so that he may bring light into the darkness. On that day, they were worldly enemies. Although unified as God's people, on that day there was peace. a poem by Alexander Johnson called Christmas Truce in 1914. I'd like to read out to you. There was a time among the dead, a corner of some foreign field, where legions made and marches led, where Tommies lay and fates were sealed, that on one cold and bitter day, the time felt right for sweeter things, space for a joyous better way. No empires here, nor crowns for kings. A fleeting warmth on those bleak grounds gave hope for many sad souls. But others cared for empire and crowns, the death knell of those kindly goals. Hear bells and always think of them. Let good folk heed, evil forget. Let go of hate, forgive those men that left us with such needless debt. Whether Tommy, Fritz, or average Joe, we were united on that special field, that Christmas Eve so long ago, when wounds and broken hearts were healed. As I read this poem, I felt that God drew me to a specific line. We were united on that special field. We were united on that special field. Worldly enemies united as God's people. Through remembrance, we are unified in God's stillness, not just as a church, but as a nation. At 11 o'clock, we stand still, unified as God's people in remembrance. In these 2 minutes, we remember, bringing us back together what war and conflict has separated us. Unifying as God's people, together experience God in the stillness, giving us strength, hope, and the passion to be peacemakers in the world. Our faith is all about unity. Paul writes to the Galatians, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. We are God's people, one nation as his kingdom. God calls his people to live in unity with one another. As his disciples, it is imperative that we make every effort to live together in harmony, regardless of our differences. God commands us to do this in love, as peacemakers. One of the greatest acts of unification is the Eucharist communion. We're going to be doing it this morning. It's in the name. It's communion. It's not an individual act. We do this together as one people of God, regardless of nationality, race, and political beliefs. As we take communion this morning through the experience of God's grace, let us reflect on the union of all Christians around the world. Maybe some of these are worldly enemies, although we are unified as God's people. Finally, I leave you with hope in the psalm, verse 10. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. God's kingdom will come. It will be above nations. It will be above all the earth. So, this morning, let us unify through remembrance. Draw on God in the stillness. Let him give us strength, together experiencing grace and hope. As a unified community of God's people, go forth and be peacemakers in the lives that you touch. Let us pray. Dear Lord God, you are our refuge, fortress, and strength. We pray for days when wars and conflicts will cease, that earth will unify with your peace in heaven. Let us go out as peacemakers in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.